Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, we've got an interview with Molly. She is coming to us all the way from the United Kingdom, and she's answered some of the questions that I've put out. If you want to be part of this, you can find details down below. Now, this is quite a short interview, a short bit of feedback from Molly, but do listen, so there's some really good points, especially on the second question that I love. And what I'm going to do is at the end of this, I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes of kind of a roundup of some of the things I picked up from the interview that you may have noticed or maybe you didn't. So I hope you enjoy it. And thank you, Molly, for coming forward and sharing a bit about your story. How did you find out you had dyslexia?
Hi. I found out that I was dyslexic quite late on, just before my A-level exams, and that means I'm still learning an awful lot today. This is quite daunting. I'd already applied to study English language at university, something I'm doing now, but this is something that was very, very much on my mind during the transition, and I think it made it that bit harder. Quite often I still walk into lectures and face very similar challenges that I faced in school. I think it's about recognising those weaknesses and learning that it's not your fault and actually appreciating some of the strengths that come with it. Things that before I probably would have presumed were part of my personality. Things like perseverance and hard work.
How have you experienced dyslexia in your life?
When I was first diagnosed with dyslexia, I presumed it kind of only affected my academic existence. That meant that although I hated school and I felt like I could never do anything right, I could completely separate this from the rest of my life. As I've come to terms with it, I can now appreciate that it isn't one of these things that you can just switch off and go home. And although I don't spend as much time reading and writing and processing difficult things outside of academia, it's still very much prevalent. I notice this now that I'm in university. I've joined the netball team, thinking about getting into rowing. Slow working memory and processing makes things like drills immensely difficult, often to a point where there seems like there's more mental than physical exercise and training, which is obviously the wrong way around. There's a lot of effort required in closely following step-by-step instructions, something that I was often criticised for in school, this kind of following of a non-linear route.
And finally, do you have any advice you'd like to give from your life with dyslexia that could help our audience?
I would just say, don't be so hard on yourself. The amount of determination you've probably gained throughout education that you don't even know exists. I mean, when you start putting yourself out there in the real world, it will honestly start to pay off so much more.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that. Fantastic. I love hearing from fellow dyslexics around the world and some of the challenges they're going through. And also, you know, hearing other people's stories are just so good. You know, I just want to share some things I really picked up from that and wanted to highlight from the story. So thank you, Molly. You know, really that separation, I think that is so key. When you don't understand dyslexia or you're just coming to terms with it, you feel it is academic life here, rest of life there. You know, that's how I picked it up when I left school. I thought, hey, this is over. Doesn't really matter anymore. I never, ever considered it, which is, it feels ridiculous now, but, you know, I wish I'd picked it up earlier. So it's amazing at Molly's age to be starting to see these things and deal with it. It does show that the world is getting a bit better and it's a bit more aware and there's more stuff out there to find, which is awesome. You know, the second is, you know, you can't just switch it off. And I think that's key as well. Dyslexia is part of you. It isn't a on or off switch. There is no magical on or off piece. You can definitely improve the way you handle it and find better coping mechanisms could be the best way of looking at it, be it meditation, be it you know, breathing is huge for us. And there's a bunch of different techniques that I've shared on the podcast and through, you know, courses like the Confident Dyslexic, etc. So that was really important as well to notice. And also, you know, I really enjoyed the bit around slow working memory. It's something that people have to be very, very aware of. You know, it happens to us a lot. And I think, it's not even, it's more the way our brains process information that makes it slow, in my opinion. And you'll notice it sometimes on the podcast. You can see it when my head is thinking visually. Because what's basically happening is my brain is thinking super quick, faster than the average human. It's actually really, really quick in that respect, in the way it operates and processes information. The slowdown is turning what's being processed in my brain into words that make sense. You know, that takes a bit of time. And if I'm not consciously slowing myself down sometimes, then it's really challenging. Really, really challenging. It also, you know, and it was a great example with what Molly said, is around doing repetitive tasks can be super hard. You know, it takes a lot of mental energy. It's really tiring to follow exacting standards. You know, a lot of dyslexics find it really good to practice in their mind, not in the real world. You know, there are studies out there that prove that they basically did a test around basketball of some kids. They basically tested how good they were at shooting the basketball. And one group then got to practice for an hour or however long it was, whatever the period of time was, actually on the basketball court. The other group had to practice in their minds, just imagining making the shot, making the shot, making the shot. They then brought them back, and they both made massive improvements, even though one group had only been practicing in their minds. You know, that is a power. Like, I'm not saying it's only dyslexic, but our minds are designed to pick up on visual preferences and emotional cues. So as you train your mind with visual pictures, you're training your body with how it feels. So it's pretty cool, you know, and there's a lot more to do around that, but it is just something to consider. But thank you so much for being on the podcast, Molly, and I hope everyone enjoyed it. If you'd like to join the podcast or be on it, it is down below. We ask 3 questions. What I would recommend is go through the link and watch it. I'm going to put the questions ahead of the time of actually answering them, because otherwise people rush them. So I'm learning. So look out for that.